I'm Jasper Pattenden at Wickham Wanderers, and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show. Coming up in the next hour, we'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds reflecting on the victory against Burton and also previewing the trip to Peterborough. We'll speak live to captain Jack Grimmer as well. We're looking forward to catching up with him again and finding out the latest from the dressing room. Sounds like some sort of soap opera, doesn't it? The latest from the dressing room. Some sort of reality TV thing. No, it would be excellent. We're looking forward to it. Also, catching up with legendary goalkeeper and Wickham Wanderers ex-players association president John Maskell, talking about what it's like to be involved in the business end of the season in his many campaigns there. Also paying tribute to former manager and chairman Brian Lee, whose birthday it would have been recently, and also telling us about the ex-players association annual quiz and the charity that they're raising money for, which is coming up this weekend as well. We'll mark International Women's Day, which is happening on Saturday, with Wickham Wanderers Women 2. I think that's about it. There might be more. Oh, and there's some details about some fixture changes as well, both the timings and the date in a couple, namely Reading and Huddersfield, although not necessarily in that order. All that and more on the way in the next sort of 60 minutes or so. Possibly less now. But first, let's kick off with our match briefing from Phil. We'll preview the trip to Peterborough. But first, let's talk about Tuesday night's fantastic victory. And off the back of Saturday's defeat to league leaders Burnham. Birmingham. That would be frightening if that happened. But also, two very different games.
Yeah, Wickham Wanderers at home against a team sort of down the bottom end of the table. Wickham, I think, really controlled the game for a huge percentage of it, really, in terms of, you know, the midfield area. They didn't particularly look in any trouble at the back for the majority of the game and got the goal early on in 11 minutes through Dan Udo, which really settled things down and were able to then add to that in the second half. So, look, we knew Birmingham away was going to be tough. They haven't lost at home all season in the league. And you could see why at times, although the second half performance really gave heart, I think, and plenty of positives for Wickham to take, which they certainly did take that into the game against Burton at Adams Park on Tuesday. And it was a really bright start for Wickham Wanderers. And as I said, crucially, getting that first goal settled the team down a bit, settled the fans down as well, which I think is hugely important. And I thought Wickham's performance from whistle to whistle last night was excellent. And Burton, you know, let's not underestimate them. I know they're down the bottom end of the table, but they had such an appalling start to the season. Many of their fans were saying they were dead and buried sort of in October, November. And Gary Bowyer, who's been in there now for, I think, sort of 20 games, maybe 15 to 20 games, is averaging about 1.4 points per game. They came into the game in really good form last night and not to be underestimated. And I thought Wickham were thoroughly professional in getting the 3 points.
And also that word that you mentioned there as well, and that comes up quite a bit recently, is control, as well as business end, which comes up quite a lot recently in this programme. But control is something that must be so pleasing, especially for the head coach, for the players and for fans as well at the moment.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's controlling the game and dictating the play. It's hugely important, and you can see that's definitely a sort of a facet of a Mike Dodds team. That's what we're learning about Mike, and I think, and it's been really interesting to see how he's built this sort of like a house, isn't he? Like the solid foundations of the defence. Wickham are incredibly frugal now at the back, and last night I thought we saw some excellent balance across the whole performance, because Wickham, I think the biggest disappointment of last night was only being 1-0 up at half time, because Wickham had certainly created enough chances to put the game to bed in the first half. And we should really give credit as well to the Burton keeper, Max Crocombe, as well. He made some excellent saves throughout the game, and especially in the first half. So it was a really good sort of balanced performance as well.
And fantastic too. I think as a fan, you get to notice that, you know, that the work that Mike is doing is really starting to bear fruit.
Yeah, I think it's... It's a tough position at any time to come into, isn't it? Because you've kind of got to come in as a new person, get to know everybody, get your feet under the table, get your philosophies out there and get moving. And you do that in a sort of a pressure cooker environment of being midway through a season. And I know he sort of said that the pressure is a privilege when you're at the top end of the table, but it's still pressure, and it's still a sort of almost a unique situation for a manager to come into, or a head coach. And he's settled in very, very quickly. And it was good to speak to him as well last night after that 3 points at Adams Park.
I think the disappointing thing is we you know, the game should have been done at half time. I think, you know, we had three big chances, like big chances. So the game should have been done at half time. So that's probably the disappointing thing, that the longer the game goes on and you keep giving them hope, similar to a Wigan type game where you don't score that first goal and you give them hope, they're fighting for their lives. And Gary's done a really good job with them. You could feel their threat at times, and I keep saying there's no easy game in this league. There's no guarantee. Just because they are where they are in the league table doesn't mean that we're just going to turn up here and it's 3 points. But yeah, 2-0, another clean sheet. I think that's what we've conceded, 2 goals in 6 games now, which is really consistent and is really a massive, massive positive. But I think from my perspective, I really like the in-possession stuff today. And that's an evolving piece it's going to take time, but you're starting to see little bits where you go, I like the way the team plays.
Tight at the back, but then the creativity and the buzz up front this evening, especially in that first half, was excellent. You must be pleased with that balance.
Yeah, and if we can do that for 75% of the remaining games, I'm sure we'll be fine. But there's going to be some games where we've got to roll our sleeves up. There'll be some games where we won't have the ball. There'll be some games where we'll have loads of the ball. The next 12 games, the next game's not going to look the same. So Peterborough on Saturday won't look the same as that, and we've got to prepare properly for what that looks like. But we've got to enjoy this moment, enjoy it for the next hour or so, and then be prepared to go back up with another performance on Saturday.
Adam Reach came in at left back. That's the first 90 he's completed for quite some time, and a really assured performance for him.
Yeah, look, Reach is a really good player, a really, really good player, and I'm going to enjoy working with him. You can see he's got quality from the level above, and you can see he's got experience from the level above. I think someone, over 400 league games, I think someone told me the other day. So yeah, he's a really, really good player. I don't see him as a left back, if I'm being completely honest, but that just shows how good he is in terms of that he can just slot into that role and put in a performance, not just this evening, but I thought in particular second half against Birmingham, he was excellent. So I think the pleasing thing from my point of view, all the work that's gone on probably over the last month or so has, you start to see the sprouts of little bits, which is pleasing.
And a couple of excellent cameos off the bench as well, Alex Lowry and Magnus Vestergaard as well. Opportunity for the fans to see what they can do here at Adams Park.
Yeah, look, Mags in particular, I've been really, really impressed with Mags. I think Mags is a big, big signing for this football club. The issue is, obviously, we're doing well. So that's an issue, and he is probably coming towards the end of what would be his pre-season in Scandinavia, so he's been playing catch up, and it's always really hard when you're preparing game after game after game, and he's probably not getting the kind of pre-season sessions that you would normally get, so it's probably taking him a little bit of time to get speed, but he's coming. You can see in terms of, I really liked his real professional performance, and Alex has got quality. You can see that. I think my responsibility is, as the coach and the developer of Alex, is for him to understand that it's not always the kind of flicks and tricks, and which I know the crowd like, but there's also a really other important element to the game, and that's going to be my responsibility over our relationship, and as our relationship grows, to try and help him with that. And if he can marry up those two elements, he's going to be a very good player.
Really pleasing to hear how pleased he is with the performance, especially in recent performances as well, with the defensive record as well.
Yeah, you can see why players like working with him. He seems like a really good sort of player person, and when he first came through the door, he said he's here to develop players, and not just young players, but players of all ages, and Wickham have got a really good blend of youth and experience, but you can really see that him and his team are really having that impact now. I thought, we've got a real good platform now to build into Saturday. We're desperate, I think, now for back-to-back wins at where we are in the table. I think that really makes a huge difference, and not only on our position, obviously, but then puts pressure on those around us as well. But I love the calmness of Mike. He's taking it one game at a time, which is the cliche we hear a lot about in football, but really applies, I think. And he's got that win behind him now this week, and he can look to Saturday now to get these back-to-back wins, hopefully, and start to build some momentum and start to apply the pressure on the other teams. And I'm sure the managers and players of other teams will say, we're not worried about what anyone else is doing, we're just concentrating on what we're doing, which is certainly the message that comes out of Wickham. And as I've said before to you, Colin, it's up to us fans to stress about everybody else and look at the table repeatedly during games and trying to find out what the latest scores are, etc. But that's our job as fans. But it seems to be a very calm and focused squad at Wickham Wanderers, which is great to see.
No, it's a really good point. And something else that you picked up on in that chat with Mike as well was praising Adam Reach, and really nice to hear him say how much he's looking forward to working with him, especially.
Yeah, you can tell the quality of Adam Reach, and something of, you know, not just with Adam Reach as well, we've seen this with Dan Harvey throughout the season too, is that when Luke Leahy can play in one of those sitting positions in midfield, he can then drop very easily into that left-back position, which then gives licence to what was Dan Harvey before he picked up his injury, and now Adam Reach. So yeah, it really adds some flexibility to the formation, more difficult to defend against. But Adam Reach has slotted in perfectly in there. And, you know, the full 90 minutes plus injury time performance for a player that hasn't played regularly for 7 to 8 months, I thought was excellent. And you can see some why that, you know, he's been brought in, yeah, huge amounts of games at the championship level and a real know-how and a flexibility and some real quality. And, you know, that's cushioned the blow of Dan Harvey's injury against Birmingham. And hopefully we see Dan back in the squads sometime soon.
No, fingers crossed that he makes a speedy recovery. And you mentioned looking ahead, obviously, to Peterborough on Saturday. And do you foresee a similar game to the Burton game? Because I guess they're on a similar run of form and not too far apart in the league table either.
Yeah, I have to say, it's been a sort of with a wry smile looking at Peterborough's recent run. They were kind of stinking out of League One, weren't they? Sort of early New Year and pre-Christmas. Really struggling down the wrong end of the table. Peterborough fans not happy with how things are going. But credit to Darren Ferguson. They seem to have turned a corner. They're putting results together now. And performances, not just in the league, but they've also got through to Wembley again in the Virtue Motors Trophy. And we wish them all the best in that against Birmingham City. But look, it's football's about momentum, and they seem to be on an upward curve now. So this is an interesting time to play them. But we thought the same about Burton Albion as well coming into it. And it goes back to the point of just concentrating on Wickham's strengths. And I think if Wickham play to the best of their ability on Saturday, then they'll be fine. I think the league table will show that. But Peterborough are not to be underestimated. Darren Ferguson knows the level, knows the division incredibly well. They still have excellent players at their disposal. And Peterborough would absolutely love to disrupt Wickham's push for automatic promotion. Of course they would.
Absolutely. And I guess with the performances against Burton, it'll give the manager a headache again in terms of, I guess he's got an embarrassment of riches to choose from.
Yeah. And, you know, as we heard earlier from Mike, you know, that's probably the biggest headache he's got. But, you know, if you apply that the pressure that is a privilege theory to that, then, you know, this headache is a pleasure for him as well, because it means he's got difficult choices to make, because players are in form, they're quality players, and they're really making him make big decisions, you know, to get in the squad even, not just to be in the starting 11. And that is a really lovely problem to have. And I'm glad I'm not the one having to make those decisions.
And obviously, we should only take one game at a time, and we'll talk more about this next week. But I think a lot of fans already are getting excited about the visit of Wrexham.
Of course they are, yeah. And, you know, I think Wrexham have got two more games to play before that game. Wickham have got just the one. So we'll all be rooting for whoever's playing Wrexham on Saturday and also next week, going into that game. But look, that game's going to be massive on the 15th. And, you know, if you haven't got your tickets yet for Adams Park, I fully recommend getting them, because it's a 3 o'clock Saturday kickoff. You know, second versus third. I'm not sure which order it will be in by the time we get there on the 15th, but it doesn't matter either way, because it's a massive 3 points. And to bring another cliche into it, is it a 6-pointer? What makes a 6-pointer? I think this probably is, isn't it?
I think it must be, yeah.
Yeah, and is it in the business end of the season yet? Again, I think, you know, perhaps a touch early, but then the fact it's a 6-pointer may bring the business window forward, so I'm not sure. But it could be big business on the 15th.
There'll definitely be a business element either way.
Yes.
Enjoy the game on Saturday.
I certainly will. Thank you, Colin.
Real pleasure to chat to Phil. As always, we'll be bringing you full match commentary on Saturday afternoon. Kickoff, of course, is at 3. Do check out Wanderers TV for the full interview with Mike Dodds post-Burton as well. You can hear from Luke Leahy. And also, you'll hear pre-match drills Dan Udo as well, also discussing the business end, or certainly mentioning it. I'm very pleased to say that Captain Jack Grimmer joins us on the show. Hello, sir.
Hello, mate. How are we doing?
Really good, thank you. And you?
Yeah, very well, thank you, bud. Very well.
I don't want to put any extra pressure on you, but I feel this could be the definitive answer. So this is something we've been working towards for some time, and I think we're getting closer. When, in your view, does the business end start?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I think the business end, for me, I think, given that the Huddersfield game has been called off, I think after that the Huddersfield game getting called off gives us a little bit of a break. And then after that, I think there's about 9 or 10 games left, which for me is about, you know, the just under probably a quarter of the season, and that's when I think every result in every game truly matters. So to answer your question, I would say around about then is the business end.
This is an excellent result, an excellent answer. And I think, obviously, you know, as captain of the club, but also obviously an actual player, I think this is an excellent, you know, source of, we can sort of quote you if that's right. That's the definitive answer then, I think, that will be when the business ended, which is different to the run-in we were discussing as well.
Yeah, the run-in's probably a lot shorter. I think the run-in's probably only, what, maybe four games, maybe Easter weekend this season. I think there's only two games after Easter weekend. So I think, I mean, to be fair, I'm saying that every game is a must-win after the Huddersfield game, but I've been telling the boys that every game's a must-win all season, to be honest with you. So it's nothing different for us. But yeah, I think the run-in's probably a little bit shorter than, you know, probably that 3-4 game, 5 game midway point to the end of the season.
The business end may be starting earlier than we realised, but it's important. It's important to get this business sorted out.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think you don't want to leave yourself, you know, playing catch up or running out of games. And I think, like I say, the Huddersfield game getting called off kind of gives us a nice break. We can, you know, especially we've got a massive game at Peterborough on Saturday and then Wrexham and then a trip to Rotherham. So I think we can really put as much as we can, everyone pulling in the same direction, into these next three games. And then you can get a little bit of a breather, and then you come back for basically what feels like a sprint finish, because there's only about 4 or 5 weeks left of the season, and I think there's about 9 games. So there's a lot of games to be played, you know, in the run-in that we've decided now. So, but yeah, no, it is. It's a really, really, it'll be an interesting end to the season, that's for sure.
And it sounds like an obvious thing to say, but every game is so different, of course, as it's been proven in the last two, playing, you know, Birmingham and that fantastic performance and controlling performance on Tuesday night as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, to be honest, it was, you know, it was something that we'd already discussed in the change room after Burton, and on the bus back was, no, sorry, on the bus back after Birmingham. You know, the Birmingham games I find are easy to get up for. They're easy to get motivated for. And I was very interested to see how we bounced back, because it's easy to get, you know, up for the games in front of 27,000 with 2,000 of your own fans there and singing their hearts out and things. And it's how do you then, you know, turn it around on a Tuesday night in a, let's face it, a must-win game that you're expected to win. You know, and the atmosphere is nowhere near the same. And, you know, with the game being on TV as well, you know, it's things like this. It was quite a test for us on a few different factors. And I feel like you said at the beginning, we were really, really dominant. I feel like I was quite gutted in a way that we didn't come in at halftime 2 or 3, 4-0 up, because I felt like that's what we deserved. And but yeah, these games are the ones that you need to tick off, be professional. The gaffers said it a few times, that you can tick those off, put them to bed, and then move on as quickly as you can. And, you know, thankfully we managed to do that on Tuesday.
And obviously something which really stands out is the fantastic defensive record, and obviously that's something you'll be pleased with, and just conceding 2 goals in the last 6 games.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, the gaffer came in and he was cautious of, you know, not changing too much, but then he's been brilliant at just subtly feeding in bits of information and subtle changes. And I think you're really now starting to see that. I think the, you know, the almost honeymoon period of him coming in is now over, and we're really in the thick of it now and wanting to work. And, you know, I did say to him that even though he wasn't going to change too much, we still had lots of improvement to do, because otherwise we would have been top and we would have been, you know, 10 points clear. So there was obviously improvements to be made. And I think defensively he's noticed a few things that have massively helped, and especially out of possession. You know, I think everyone knows how good a team we can be going forward, but it was shutting the back door, which was the more important thing, especially for, you know, the running of fixtures that we have. You know, we've got a lot of top teams with a lot of attacking threat coming up against us. And, you know, I think that'll be a massive part of whoever is to do well, I think, has to keep the goals out.
And how have you found working with and under Mike in these initial few weeks?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. I'm not going to lie. It was, you know, it was a very turbulent time for the club. You know, Sam Grayson, Sam Vokes, the Sams managed to steady the ship very well. And, you know, January was in, I think, a really testing time for us. And I don't think people quite understand how testing it was with, you know, Matt Bloomfield and the staff leaving and then 10 new faces walking in the building. I don't think anyone can sort of appreciate just how tough it was. But, you know, Mike has came in and he's been brilliant. I'm not gonna lie. He's been I've loved every minute so far of working with him. He's sees the game, and I think a very similar way to the way I see it. And I think that's, you know, that's why I really hope that we can repay sort of the work that he's doing behind the scenes with the results on the pitch, because, you know, we see just what kind of person's walked in the door, and it's someone that's matched us very well.
And fantastic that you know, he pointed out as well that I guess the players, you know, you will realise how many of you are there, and so many, you know, can't play all at once, but really committed to the contributions that you are making at the times that you're making them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's probably one of his biggest headaches, to be honest. You know, and it's through no fault of his own, because he wasn't here when we signed all the players. But it's as a manager and as myself as captain, I'm not going to lie, it's tough to manage, because everyone wants to play, and especially when a team's winning, everyone wants to be part of the promotion. So, you know, it's, you know, some of the boys have came in and some have played and some haven't, and it's tricky. It's a very tricky situation, because then, you know, there is calls for players to play, but people sometimes forget that the team is second for a reason, and it's not because of the players that we signed in January. It's the players that have been here all season. So I think on that half, I'd say patience is very much required from everyone. And, you know, as long as this club hits the goal of promotion at the end of the season, then I'm sure everyone will be happy.
And it feels like, I guess, you know, as players, you know, there's not much chance to kind of sort of sit back and reflect on what you've done so far. But fantastic that you've been able to maintain that top two spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that everyone keeps expecting us to fall away. I think when, you know, right back at January when we lost Aaron Morley and initially lost Caleb Taylor, I feel like everyone kind of expected us to stumble. And then with Matt Bloomfield leaving, I felt like that was another stage that people expected us to drop away. And then obviously the gaffer came in and sort of, as I said, sort of steadied it out a little bit, along with Gracie and Volksy and everyone behind the scenes. And I feel like it's one of them that people are kind of maybe still expecting us just to stumble a little bit towards the end. But, you know, because we are punching, so, you know, against such big hitters in this league, you know, I've been in this league for a very long time, a very big chunk of my career, and I've never seen it as, you know, as competitive as it is this season and get as much coverage as it has this season. So it's a very exciting time for Wickham. You know, it's a very exciting time for the club, and you know, and I'm sure the fans are loving every minute of it.
It's strange, isn't it? Because I'm sure we've said this to you before, perhaps in previous seasons too, but, you know, the teams down near the bottom are beating teams near the top, and it's just so tight, doesn't it, that their league position doesn't seem to reflect, you know, how they're performing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I feel like it's one of those that it was extra. I was sort of extra happy with the performance on Tuesday night, because, you know, we'd had Wigan come to our place, we'd played Cambridge, we'd played Northampton, we'd dropped points against the lower league teams, and those are the teams that, you know, the fans expect us to, you know, all of a sudden the fans are just expecting us to blow these sides away, and at this stage of the season, I'm sorry, but that's not going to happen. You know, there's a reason that the football is such a roller coaster, is because people slip up and, you know, teams don't get the results that necessarily are expected of them. So it's almost a good thing as well that I feel like our run-in is against top half teams, because I feel like this season we've performed well against those teams, and those teams have to come out and try and play their own game and try win, because they're chasing something as well. So it'll definitely make for a really interesting end to the season, that's for sure.
And does that affect your preparation for games like Saturday? Because obviously Peterborough are kind of down that end as well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because they are down that end of the table, but they are still, to my knowledge, the Peterborough team that we faced last season, and not in terms of maybe the quality, but they play the same style. They love possession. They're a very possession-based side, and they have a lot of attacking players. And I feel like why they are down the bottom end is because they've just conceded too many goals, which last season they managed to keep a tighter defence. But they've always had that attacking threat going forward, which is something that we're very, very well aware of. And, you know, I think at this stage of the season, I just think that regardless of where teams are in the league, you have to give them the respect that they deserve, because everyone is probably fighting for something at this stage.
And as players as well, are there certain sections of the season that you're especially looking forward to? Because it seems like often when we speak to you, it feels like, you know, just starting a really key run of games, but this feels like you're starting a key run of games.
It is, yeah. I don't know. I think during the few interviews that we've had throughout the season, I feel like I keep saying it's an important period coming up for us. And, you know, I feel like it is that. I feel like the most important period is the next period. I feel like all season I've kind of been relaying to the boys, we need to win this, we need to do this, we need to win that. And And I feel like it has been, you know, very, very much a relentless season. I think I'll never need probably an off season as much as I'll need this one, to be honest, to get a break. But like I say, if we manage to achieve what we want to achieve, then it'll definitely be worth it. That's for sure.
No, absolutely. And because I guess, do you relish the sort of the challenge? Because I've seen and heard people say that, you know, especially with the Huddersfield game, it seems a bit unfair that, you know, you've got so many games close together next month.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I feel like it's one of those that if you're winning games, then you just want them to keep coming thick and fast because you just keep racking up the points very quickly and you put pressure on everyone around you. But then on the complete flip side of that, if you are not picking up points and you're stumbling a little bit, then sometimes a break can be very worthwhile. But I feel like the end of the season now is very, 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 very busy. And I think it's going to be the test of the squad and the test of the characters that we have in there to really try and push us over the line, because we've done incredible all season. And, you know, to stumble at the last sort of hurdle would be a horrible thing.
So what's a player's eye view of when you get a match off for an international break? Is it kind of welcome, or do you think, I guess it depends on the form that you're in, but in a way, would you think we'd rather be playing, or is it quite nice to have that break, especially at this time in the season?
Yeah, you absolutely hit the nail on the head, actually. I think when you said it depends on the form, for me, if we are to win the next three games, then I would rather we were playing the Huddersfield game. But having said that, I know that, you know, a lot of the boys and myself included it's been a busy Christmas period, and then you come into January and you come into February, and especially this season in the league, every game has felt like a must-win game. So you have that sort of intensity on your shoulders and your mind at all times. And I feel like it could hopefully be a good refresh, and it kind of splits the rest of the season up a little bit into sort of three games and then nine games, which I think is quite welcomed. And you know, hopefully it allows everyone to go away and do things properly, enjoy time with your family, but be ready to come back in the right manner and sort of hit the ground running. And like I said, sprint to the finish is, you know, nine games in sort of 4 weeks is not a lot.
No, exactly. That's the business end, isn't it? You can tell that.
Absolutely. That is the business end.
some business is going to be done during that period, I feel. And I appreciate you're focused on the Peterborough game, but just looking ahead to the rest of this month alone, I'm sure you'll relish the break, especially after, you know, the visit of Wrexham and then, you know, a tricky trip to Rotherham in the week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's very, very tough games for us. You know, we still have really tough places to go. You know, Rotherham, even though they're in mid-table, there is a very tricky place to go. We've got now Huddersfield on a Tuesday night. We've got Bolton on a Friday. You know, we've got Leighton Orient, who have been flying recently, you know, shooting up the league. We do have really some tough fixtures to go, but that could really be the making of us. And like you say, I think before the break, we've got, you know, it's hard to get away from the big sort of second v third, or in whatever order that will be come when that game is played. But the Wrexham game will have a lot of cameras on it, I'm sure. And then, as you said, we have to get ourselves right up again for a long trip up to Rotherham. And I think it's a good thing for, you know, the kind of thing I'll be saying is that we can give everything in these games, knowing that you've got the Saturday off and that you can rest and recuperate, get time with your families. And as long as you leave everything out there, then, you know, I have no doubt that we'll get the results that we deserve.
And just finally, what would be your message to supporters at this time?
Get yourselves down to Adams Park. You know, I think it's always something. Since I've been here, you know, I've felt quite an affinity with the fans. You know, since that first season, and especially going through promotion when you know, COVID and things, I think it gave every player a sort of new connection to fans, if you will, because we played football behind closed doors for a full season and a half, and I think everyone has a newfound appreciation for just what it means to have fans in the stadium. And my shout to the fans would be to really rally around us as much as you can and get yourselves down to Adams Park and support us for this run-in, because it does help and it does make a big difference. You know, for the ones that were there on Tuesday, the loyal ones that came down, it was brilliant to see. And, you know, we heard them behind the goal and in the big family stand, and it was nice to clap them at the end and give them a performance that they could, you know, go home proud of. And yeah, I think we're going to need them as much as they feel like they need us towards the end of the season, that's for sure.
It's been a real pleasure to speak to you. I wish you and the rest of the team all the best for Saturday as well.
Top man, mate. Thank you very much. A pleasure as always.
Great to chat to you. Jack Grimmer speaking to us here at Wickham Sound.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound. The Wickham Wanderers Show. Thursdays from 7.
Part two of this week's Wickham Wanderers Show, still to come, will be marking International Women's Day, which is on Saturday, with Wickham Wanderers women and a number of the chair girls. Plus, we'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds looking ahead to Saturday's trip to Peterborough. Saturday also sees one of the fantastic fundraising events, which is being staged by Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association. And it's a pleasure again to speak to John Maskell, of course, legendary goalkeeper and president of the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, who can tell us more.
Our annual quiz is the first of the four events we hold in the Ex-Players Association every year. We're holding it this year, this Saturday, in the Caledonian Suite. And anyone interested should contact Vince Faulkner, our treasurer, who organises the event. We've still got places, but we've already got 120 people attending. But we won't turn anybody away if they're interested. I think it's safe to say that it's an enjoyable evening. I mean, there's no pressure on anybody, but we normally raise a substantial sum for our charity at this quiz. I set the questions, which hopefully are not too hard, and we have an excellent question master in Robin, that's my son-in-law, who keeps everyone in order. In addition, there's a raffle, which all proceeds go to our chosen charity of the year, which is Thames Valley Air Ambulance this year, which, as you know, is a very important aspect of the national health, really. Although they get no funds from the government, so that's why we've chosen them this year. We've actually handed over funds of more than 6,000 to the Alzheimer's Society and prostate cancer charities in the past year, so we're hoping to do the same for the air ambulance. So every penny raised by us during this 2025 will go to this, what I think anyway, and I'm sure you will agree, a deserving cause. They cover Berks and Bucks and Oxfordshire. I just want to say a few things about them because I went to pick up some information the other day from them at Stoke and Church, and they're based at RAF Benson, and as I say, their headquarters are at Stoke and Church. And as we all know, they provide critical care from medics, doctors, to provide the best chance if one of us has an accident and it's an emergency. So we're really delighted as an association to link up with this charity that do so much good work. We've contributed nearly 60,000 to different organisations since their formation in 2009. And we're looking forward to raising even more over the next 12 months for the Thames Valley Air Ambulance. So that's what we're doing in terms of charities this year.
It just goes to show, doesn't it, what a big part of the Ex-Players Association fundraising is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you think 60,000 is a lot of money, it's gone to really good causes. As you know, Peter Sutherby, one of our ex-players, had a stroke and he was in hospital, and they had some equipment there, Amersham, that they only had one, I think it was, for stroke victims, and to move them about and get them out of bed. And that's an example of what we did. We actually contributed towards a new one for them. So that's the sort of thing we do anyway. And as I say, the Alzheimer's and prostate cancer charities, they benefited last year to the tune of, £6,000?
No, absolutely. Can you give us some behind the scenes what it's like when in terms of setting the questions?
Well, I've always been involved in quizzes. I would say, though, I'm pretty useless myself. I should be the best in the world, really, because I've been doing it for so many years. For local village halls, I'm on the committee there, which I have a quiz. senior citizens party, the pub quizzes. But at the end of the day, although I've got this massive bank of questions, I'm not very good myself, but I do try to make it a good quiz for everyone, because you get people who are good on general knowledge, geography. We have six categories, which we normally do every year: general knowledge, geography and sport, and then music, history and TV and radio. But we also have a couple of rounds where we hand out two handouts, where we ask them to fill it in and give it in before the end of the night, sort of thing. So there's actually eight rounds. We have Susie Clark, who used to work for Wycombe Wanderers, and she's on the committee. She's very good on the tech side in terms of Excel, etc. So we do have an automatic, she keeps the score and can tell you at any given time what the situation is. And she also does for me afterwards an analysis of the marks, because that's quite important, because we think if the winning side gets, 80%, then that's about right, you know, and the side that finishes last, well, as I say, if they get 55, 60%, then we're happy. So we do try to make it a reasonable quiz, because I know that some of these quizzes, you know, they've said to me in the past, oh, it's too hard, or we didn't like it because it wasn't enough different questions. But we actually take any feedback into consideration anyway.
Well, you say it's a fun evening, but it's taken very seriously, and there's a lot of prestige that goes with the winning team.
That's right. We have a cup, as we do for all the other events. We have this cup, well, apart from the dinner, but the other three events, the bowls and the golf, we have cups. They're very nice trophies as well, and we obviously get the names of the WIM team put on there. And it's interesting, John Taylor did a roll of honour thing, which we're going to give out at the quiz this year. And it's interesting, actually. One team, captained by Mike Knox, you might know Mike Knox, he worked for the Buck Free Press.
Yes, he's been on the show.
Mail. But he brings a team, they've won it four times. And then we've got another team who are called the People's Republic of China, run by an ex-Grainsman, and they won it three times. But they haven't won it the last few years, so it'd be interesting to see whether they can stamp their authority on it again. But a team from my actual village, the Baldens, we had two teams in it one year, and we one of them won it. And I can assure you, I didn't give them any answers whatsoever before I'm accused of that. No. So it's quite interesting, yeah. And it's, as you say, there's prizes for the winning team. We have a raffle, which, again, is in aid of the charity we're supporting for this year. So, it's a really, really good night.
And obviously a great social occasion as well.
Yeah. You're right, because it's a two-course meal, a very good meal as well. And, you know, we've got a bar. We start around about 7:30 and finish about, 10:30, quarter to 11, I suppose, by the time we've given out the trophies and completed the raffle, etc. But, it is really good. Well, you've got 120, as I say, people come in. It's 122, I think Vince told me this afternoon. Come in, which is quite good. We have had as many as 140, but obviously some people can't make it, depending on the date. So I would like to see more supporters come. We do get tables of supporters, don't get me wrong, we do, but I would like to see a few more come, because it's a good occasion. And as you say, it's a social event as well. And I always go around the tables and ask them, get feedback about the questions. But as I say, you know, I've got this bank of questions, and I'll be sit watching the television, watching the news, for instance, and see something and think, that's interesting. And then I'll just add it to my my bank of questions. So I've got so many. You know, I've got a couple of sporting questions this year that I think will be very, very interesting. You know, and they're football questions, so I'd be surprised to see how many people get them right. But, obviously, I can't divulge this to you over the radio.
No, no.
Because of my involvement in questions, yeah, I've probably heard most questions, but I just cannot recall it sometimes, you know. So might be an age thing, I think.
You've got all the questions, but not necessarily all the answers.
That's right. Yeah, exactly, yeah. They're easy when you know.
Excellent. Well, I hope it's a really enjoyable and evening, and you raise a lot of money for the Thames Valley Air Ambulance as well. And especially poignant to be speaking to you as well, because last week would have been Brian Lee's 89th birthday as well.
That's right. Brian would have been 89 at the end of last month. I think it was the 28th. But I know I speak for everyone at Wycombe Wanderers Football Club when I say we miss him so much, and we do. He was on the committee with us. And I personally will always be grateful for him. And you'll understand that, because obviously I played for him for such a long time. Yeah. And I have to say, and I've said it before, Wycombe would not be the club it is today without Brian Lee. I mean, it's fantastic that the club could go to the Championship, you know, what an achievement. But I'm convinced, and I always will be, that it would not have happened had Brian Lee not come to the club when he did. And he completely changed the mindset of everyone involved, both on and off the pitch. He completely changed it. He upset a few people, I'm sure, along the way, but that was Brian. But, yeah, I mean, the first thing he did, I remember, and I didn't agree with it, was he got rid of the reserve side and had a squad of players, which didn't go down very well, but he was proved right. You know, we had a squad of 22 players, and he kept them all happy. But it was interesting, this rotation they do today, Brian never did that. He always said to me, you play your best side. And, that, you know, you always play your best side in the manager's mind. Yeah. And he also, of course, he had very high standards. I mean, if you didn't comply, you wouldn't be at the club very long. I mean, for instance, he was a stickler for good timing and smart attire, you know. He introduced blazers and ties for match day. And we had to wear them. You know, there was no arguing. And I once asked him about the blazers and ties, because I said, well, you know, what's behind that? And he said, well, first of all, it's a discipline thing. But secondly, when you put that blazer on and put your tie on to come here, when you're travelling here, he said, you come from Oxford, so, you know, myself, Mickey Oliphield and Ian Rundle. And he said, as soon as you put that on, you're thinking about football. Your mind's, you know, you're focusing on the game itself before you even get here. Whereas if you roll up in any old gear, then, you know, you might be thinking about the night before or what you're going to do after the game and all. And I think he was right. Yeah. He always insisted on good behaviour on the pitch. And I expect you're aware of that, but we won quite a few awards with the Rothmans. When Rothmans was sponsoring the Isthmian League, we won a lot of awards and quite a bit of money in those days for being the top side in terms of good behaviour. And you know, he always said, obey the referee at all times. He might, whether he's right or wrong, but he's not going to change his mind, so just behave yourself. And, of course, there were two yellow cards, I believe, in a four-year spell. Two yellow cards. So it showed we were listening to him, you know. We didn't have to hack people down or show disrespect for the referee. We were a good side without all that. And, of course, again, you probably know, but we nicknamed him the Führer, which he found amusing, but he was. The Führer. I mean, I even say today, I bump into people and they all say, oh, yeah, it's a shame the Führer's gone. And it's amazing, really. But he found that amusing anyway. So, the other thing, you know, I found with Brian, he was also a great man manager, because that's quite important. You know, And he dealt with individuals in different ways. I mean, depend on the character. I remember having a spell of bad games and being responsible for a couple of goals. You know, with a goalkeeper, you can't do much with it. You've got to wait for the next game, the next cross, the next shot. Yeah, no, I was a confident sort of guy. I was responsible for a couple of goals, and I realised that, and I hadn't played well for a couple of games. But on the, I always remember on the Saturday, we had a very important game at Dagenham, and we were both at the top. I think we were first and they were second, or the other way around. He called me to one side just before he announced the team and said, and I can remember yesterday, he said, "Mas, just remember, we all think you're the best goalkeeper in this league, and the whole team feels so much better when you're playing behind them." Do you know what? That stuck in my mind, and it certainly lifted me. In fact, I believe we went on to win 1-0, and I had quite a good game. So, you know, he seemed to know how to treat individuals, and that was an excellent example of lifting somebody when they're not playing so well.
It's really good to hear those stories. And, you know, in the current game, there's just 12 games to go. Is this a part of the season that you especially enjoyed?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, it's always nerve-wracking for anybody, players, supporters and anybody else, when you're in with a chance of promotion or winning the league. But I think I've watched Wickham quite a few times, and I think they'll go up automatically. I hope they do anyway. They deserve it. But they're not playing, you know, supporters will say, oh, they're not playing that good, might be, but they're not letting too many goals in, and they're getting the right results. And there will be stages through the season where, you know, you're not playing so well, you're not playing such flowing football, and but that's where the good sides get results. They scrape out a result, and of course they bank the points, and that's what you've got to do at this stage of the season. It's not about how you're playing, really. It is about points, and I think Wickham will go up. Well, I hope they will anyway. But it's a bit stressful, because, you know, it really is. I remember going back. With Dagenham again, we the last game of the season at Lokes Park, and there's about 8,000 there. We played Dagenham, and I can't remember the goal difference, but we had to win sort of 1-0 without conceding a goal or something. And yeah, that was nerve-wracking, even for myself and the other players who had been through it all. We were, you know, on edge a bit, but Keith Searle scored a goal about 10 minutes from the end, I think it was, and we won 1-0 and won the league. So I know from the players it is stressful when you get to that stage. But hopefully, you know, we'll get a result on Saturday at Peterborough, and then the big one against Wrexham, and I believe we can win that one. And then, you know, it's just the remaining games to make sure we get the points. I just want us... just want to say, you know, about the committee, the ex-players committee. I mean, we do have a fantastic committee, and especially led by our chairman, Alan Hutchinson, and our vice chairman, John Taylor, who you know, obviously. And we do have, just to say, that we've got 110 members. I looked it up today, which I believe is probably the biggest ex-players association anywhere in the country, and that includes all the professional leagues. I can't think of anybody else. And of course, I just want to say on behalf of the ex-players, all the success we've had over the last 15 years would not have been possible without the support of the football club itself. And the club have been great, and where possible, they've always given us their support. And I'd like to say a big thanks to Matt Cecil in particular from the club, who does a lot for us. So I just thought I'd mention that anyway.
No, absolutely. It's been a real pleasure to chat to you again. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Colin.
Brilliant speaking to John Maskell. And if you would like to get involved in the quiz, you can check out the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association Facebook page, where there are all the details there.
Across High Wickham and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
The Chair boys are flying high in League One this season, so come on down to Adams Park, get behind the boys and play your part in what will be a memorable season for Wickham Wanderers.
71 minutes on the clock, up against Jed Stitt, dancing around on his line.
Take your time, Rich. Take your time.
Here he comes.
It's been goals, goals, goals for the Chair boys so far this season. Come on down to Adams Park to play your part and get behind the boys. Head to tickets.wwfc.com and use the code SOUND on booking for a chance to win a gantry experience at a Wickham Wanderers home match. Come on, you Blues.
I'm Martin Clark.
And I'm Heather Harrison.
Join us between 10 and 12 noon every Sunday for Classics Count.
We'll be playing music you know, music you like, and music you'd love to hear again.
And we'll be telling you about composers, orchestras and instruments, and stories behind pieces of music.
We'll also be talking to musicians in the studio about upcoming local classical concerts.
So listen in Classics Count, 10 till 12 on Sundays.
And on Listen Again.
Here on Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show, Thursdays from 7.
106.6 FM. Final part of this week's Wickham Wanderers Show, still to come. We'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds looking ahead to Saturday's trip to Peterborough. Let's for now, though, turn our attention back to the Chair girls, who, if you're at the Burton game on Tuesday night, you'll have seen and heard from a number of the first team, encouraging you to get down to Adams Park on the 18th of March for their game against Reading. Set to be a fantastic occasion there. They had a great win on Sunday against Porchester away, and they're at home this coming Sunday against Woodley as well. This Saturday is International Women's Day, as Darcy from the Chair Girls explains.
This upcoming Saturday, the 8th of March, is International Women's Day, a day honoured to recognise women's achievements and to continue advocating for gender equality. To celebrate the day, we've spoken to a few of the Chair Girls who told us about the women that have inspired them in their footballing careers.
Hello, my name is Kayla and I'm a striker for Wickham Wanderer Women's, also known as the Chair Girls. I want to take a moment to wish everyone a very happy International Women's Day. It's about celebrating the achievements of women everywhere and recognising the incredible impact they have in our lives, on and off the pitch. One woman who has truly inspired me is Melissa Tancredi. Her resilience, determination, and belief in herself have always stood out to me. She's shown me the importance of pushing forwards even when things get tough, and has played a huge role in shaping my football journey. I also want to take this opportunity to appreciate how far the women's game has come and to keep pushing for even greater opportunities, not just in football, but in all fields. Happy International Women's Day.
Hey everybody, it's Amber, Wickham Wanderers women's first team goalkeeper. I was always inspired by former Lioness Karen Barsley, who won bronze at the Women's World Cup in 2015, I think, plus all the other girls that were playing. It really helped create opportunities even back then that we never had, and that always inspired me to try and help create these opportunities. I just wanted to wish you all a happy International Women's Day.
Hi, my name's Danielle Puddyfoot and I'm a central midfielder playing for the Chair Girls. Happy International Women's Day to all the wonderful women out there. I was inspired by both my mum and my nan to play football. They would come to watch all the games from when I started at the age of 5.
My name's Jess and I play for the Chair Girls. I just want to wish everyone a happy International Women's Day. One woman that's really inspired me throughout my whole football journey has been my mum. She was always there at every game when I was a kid. And when I said that I wanted to try and get higher up the leagues, she really encouraged me to go for it, as well as encouraged me to go and play abroad in Australia.
Brilliant to hear from them. Check out the Wickham Wanderers women's social media for more. Here's Phil chatting to Mike Dodds ahead of Saturday.
Mike, back on the road, and it's a trip to Peterborough, and they're coming into form, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got some good players. You know, they play a really nice brand of football. It's probably the right phrase to use. But they were always going to come at some point, because you know they have some really, really good players for this level. A really experienced coach, so it'll be a really, really difficult evening, or afternoon, sorry, it'll be a really difficult afternoon afternoon for us, and you know it will look different to the Burton game. We know that it will look different, and we'll have to prepare maybe slightly differently, but it's a game that we'll be going into with full confidence.
They've had a disappointing season in the league by their standards, but they've got to a final again at Wembley, and Wigan fans will know that that can really inject life into a team at this stage.
Yeah, because what you'll have is you'll have a dressing room that want to play in that game. So it gives them a why, it gives them a reason in terms of that extra 10-15%. So look, I'm sure their results will continue to pick up from now to the end of the season. The league table doesn't lie to a degree, but in terms of Peterborough, you know, like I said, they've got players that are beyond where they are in the league table. You know, they've got some real kind of top end League One players in their team. So we know it's going to be a really, really difficult game, and like all the games, they're going to be difficult, and we're going to have to be really, really thorough and professional in terms of the way we play.
Excellent performance on Tuesday night here at Adams Park, but it will give you plenty to think about in terms of selections heading to London Road on Saturday.
Yeah, that's probably the hardest part of the job, because, you know, you've got so many good players and, you know, I can only pick 11, and then you can only pick, what is it, 7 on the bench. So it's probably the hardest part of the job at the moment. You know, I'm fully aware that there are some players that probably aren't playing that would get into most teams in this league. So I feel fortunate from that point of view. You know, it's not a moan by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not moaning about it. But it's a real positive headache. So, yeah, what I always do is I pick the team that I feel is best to win the game, and that will be the same against Peterborough.